Like you to open your Bibles this morning. 2 Peter, please, chapter 1. It's nice to be back in Jersey. No place like home, even New Jersey. Once it's home, it's home. Lori and the baby are doing well, and we enjoyed being with the entire family last weekend, our grandchildren especially. I tell you, I'm all played out. I flew gliders with Benjamin. I went on the kids' trampoline. I shouldn't have. You know, you get to a certain age, something tells you don't go jump up higher than your head. But we picked up leaves in the yard. We had a full weekend. And the baby's doing well. Came out a little discolored. Came out black and blue. Took a few days for him to find out, you know, that if he had yellow jaundice or not. But he's doing fine and he's home. And the little baby Cole is now a brother. And so he's very curious as to what's going on in his room. He's trying to peek in and find out who's sleeping in his bed. But they all send their love, and we experience some southern hospitality. That's a phrase that you hear a lot about up north, southern hospitality. But it started actually with their pastor picking us up at the airport. And we missed the birth of baby Carter by about 9 or 10 minutes. He tried hard. I'm not going to say whether he sped or not, but he really tried hard to get us there. But we missed the birth of the baby by just a little bit. And I know David is on the church staff, but their pastor really didn't have to do that. And I really appreciate the Southern hospitality. And while we were there, some of the ladies of the church brought meals to the house. We had a nice pot roast one night, so nobody had to cook. And it was just really nice. You know, the South is friendly, and it's spacious. It's not like up here where everything's crowded. I mean, it's so crowded up here when it snows, you don't know where to put the snow, you know. If you throw it this way, that neighbor gets angry. If you throw it that way, that neighbor gets angry. You throw it in the street, the town gets angry. So you can't win. It's a no-win situation sometimes. But we were partakers of Southern hospitality. And that brings us to my message this morning, partakers of the things of God. We, children of God, those of us that have been born again, born by the Spirit of God, those of us that know Christ as our Savior, we are partakers of the things of God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, please, in verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God. Notice, it's through the righteousness of God. It's not through your being good. It's not through my being good. It's not through anything that we can do in ourselves. It is through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now notice verse 4 is our text this morning. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That word partaker is used 31 times in the New Testament. To be a partaker means to become a part of something and to have something become a part of you. You and I are partakers of the divine nature by the experience of the new birth. What a wonderful thought. And let's ask God to bless the message. Father, we ask you this morning to open our hearts and minds to the eternal Word of God. Help us, Lord, to focus now on your word and help us to put aside the trials and tribulations that each of us go through and the pressing things in our mind and maybe problems that we have to resolve this week or this day. And help us to receive from you the things that you have for each of us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I'd like to share with you a few things that we are partakers of God in. First of all, we are partakers of a heavenly calling. And if you turn to Hebrews chapter 3, please, to the left, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1. I'll wait till you get there. Did you find it? All right. If you found it, what's the first word? All right. You found it. Wherefore, holy brethren. You say, how can God call me a holy brethren? By the righteousness of God. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Wow. Partakers of the heavenly calling. The calling of the New Testament believer is the best thing that could happen in your life. To think that you and I are partakers of a heavenly calling. We get a lot of phone calls, don't we? You think you're safe at 9:30 at night. You're not always safe, are you? You get calls from people trying to sell you stuff. Like, we don't get bombarded enough in, you know, everyday life through the boards on the street and the radio and the commercials. But the calling of the New Testament believer is the best thing that could be had. And we as Christians have been given a heavenly calling that cannot fade away. The Bible tells us in Philippians, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave us a calling when we were saved. Remember that time when God called you to be saved? I remember when God called me to be saved. He was knocking at the door of my heart. Boy, was he knocking. Because my heart felt like it was coming out through my shirt. I had religion, but I didn't have Christ. The big difference is to have the Lord Jesus. And I remember that day when he spoke to my heart. But God gave us, first of all, a calling to be saved. And then after that was settled, then a calling to serve. As a Christian, we have a calling to serve. That calling is ever constant. There's no discharge from this warfare. God is always calling on us to serve him. And if you notice the first word, wherefore. Wherefore connects chapters 1 and 2. Where Christ is the apostle, which means the sent one. He was sent here on a mission. Thank God he came. Amen. And now he is the high priest who makes intercession for us. We are already partakers with him in this heavenly calling and the world to come, because he has already entered into that world to come. And we are partakers of that heavenly calling. We are sharing with him right now in that possession of that which is to come. Amen. You know, heaven is the world of reality. Heaven is the real thing. Heaven is the real deal. I know the commercials try to tell us that something else is real or this is real, but heaven is the reality. Everything here is a copy at best. This world has only the shadows of that which is to come. If you were blessed to have been brought up in a good family, that's a shadow of the very best family to come. If you had a loving mother or father, that's a shadow of what is to come. This world has only the shadows of that which is to be. The eternal world of realities has been revealed, for Christ, who belongs to it, has come from heaven and opened up heaven's gates by his death on the cross, so that you and I could be partakers of that divine nature. Thank God he came. Without his coming here, without his paying the price on Calvary's cross, you and I would not be capable of enjoying and being partakers of that divine nature. It would have been foreign to us. We never would have known what God was like unless Jesus came to tell us what God was like. We are, thank God, partakers of a heavenly calling. And God does call us. Oh, yes, he does. Secondly, we're partakers not only of a heavenly calling, but we're partakers of Christ himself. Hebrews chapter 3, please, in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14 says these words. For we are made partakers of what? Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. But verse 14, we were made partakers of Christ. We must have a new beginning to be partakers of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, we must have I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread that come down from heaven that a man may eat and never die. Thank God. Amen. We are been made partakers of Christ. Everything that Christ has, according to the Word of God, we have a part of it. We are partakers with Christ. Amen. Look at verse 14. Hebrews 3:14. Hebrews 3:14. We are made partakers of Christ. What a blessed promise. What a blessed truth. Because of the new birth, because of the new nature, we possess what he has. We possess his holiness. We possess his righteousness. We are partakers of his kingdom. We have a part of it. Amen. To be partakers. A part of it. This Bible says that we are heirs and co-heirs with him in his kingdom. Man says to his wife on their wedding day, with all my worldly goods, usually it's not much, starting out, with all my worldly goods, I with thee also endow. In other words, a fancy way of saying, all that I have is yours. I remember when I got married, back in those days, you had to be 21. That was the law. I was 20. My parents had to sign for me. That's how endowed I was. Linda bought the license with her money. That's how endowed I was. I was in the military. But yet, what that promise means is that all of my worldly goods now belong to you. That was before the day of contracts. What's a contract? I guess a contract is something binding, and if you don't like it, you know, you can get out of it. But at least that's the way it used to be. That's what Christ offers his children. And you know, that makes us exceedingly rich, doesn't it? All that he has, he's willing to share with us. In the time to come, he's going to reveal himself to us. What an honor is ours. God help us to walk worthy of it, in light of it. We are partakers of his nature, of his destiny. All that he has and is, he shares with us. And as I think of this verse, I want to call your attention also to one word in that verse. We are made partakers of Christ. Made partakers. We have no title to this privilege by our own nature. We have no title to this privilege by anything that we can do. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We are partakers. It's the Holy Spirit's work in us that causes us to be partakers of all that God has. In other words, salvation is of the Lord. Amen? Ask Jonah if you don't believe me. He tried his hardest to evade that heavenly calling. He had a prophetic office. God told him to go to Nineveh, a wicked city, and preach that judgment was coming. And Jonah said, uh-uh, don't want to go there. That's worse than going to New Jersey, I don't know. And he said, instead of going north, he went south. He's going towards Spain, towards the end of the known world. That's how far away. He was quitting his prophetic calling. And God sent a storm. And the storm was so bad that Jonah, down in the ship, fast asleep, thinking, I have evaded the call. No one will ever know or hear from me again. Nobody will ever find out that I have evaded the call of God, the heavenly calling. Well, not too many people have heard about it. Only billions. Amen. But you know, God didn't make him go. But God did make him willing to go. God is always working on our willingness. And thank God that God is a loving, kind parent. He knows his children individually. He knows what motivates each of us. You know, all my children were different. What motivated one wouldn't motivate another. Matthew took very little to correct him. If I just raised my voice a little, he was just all in tears. And God forbid if he ever did anything that deserved a spanking. I remember once they all got in trouble in the same day. That usually happens when you have kids close together. And they all were going to get paddled. And Matthew begged me to do him first. I'll never forget it. He couldn't stand the thought of him watching the torture of the others. And I almost laughed when I think of it. Back then I almost laughed too, because he was dead serious. Dad, please spank me first. I beg of you. And I had to control my emotions. He said, did you enjoy spanking? No, I never enjoyed it. But you know, real correction is to correct, to change the attitude. My goal as a parent was not to have them like me now. My goal was to have them like me later. After they're grown. After they realize what it was all about. And that's really the goal of parenthood, is to prepare them to be on their own. We only have a short time to teach them character and discipline and habit, real habits that are meaningful. You know, my daughter Lori, I don't think she missed church till she was in eighth grade. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings. And plus she went to Christian school all week. She finally got sick in eighth grade. I mean, her record was good and long. And I remember it was a momentous occasion where she did miss church. But you know, habits are so important, the proper habits. Because habits stay with us a lifetime. Well, kind of got off of my message here a little bit, but we are partakers of Christ. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4, we are partakers of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 6, 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Once again, made partakers. Every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. So many things happen the moment we're saved. It takes a lifetime of studying the Bible to find out all the good things that happen to us. One of the good things that happened to us is the Holy Spirit has come to live in this temple. Amen. Ye are the temple of God. When I grew up, I used to think that God lived in the church. That was his temple. We went there to visit him. When I was a little kid, I used to walk gently in the church thinking that God might be around the corner and scare me. It was a mysterious thing. But the Bible says that ye are the temple of God. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Yes. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, according to Romans. And a person becomes a Christian by being born again of the Spirit of God. And so we are partakers of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. There is only one new birth experience, this verse is teaching us. There's only one call to repentance. There's only one time that Christ comes to live and to stay with us. Can we fall away? Yes, we can go back into the world, but we'll be miserable. you'll be more miserable because the Holy Spirit still lives with you. And I'll tell you, consciences can be a wonderful thing and a terrible thing because he is always with us. And a person cannot be unborn. Once we're born again, we're a member of the family of God. We cannot be unborn. A lady said to a minister once, since you believe in the eternal security of the believer, then you must not believe in the perseverance of the saints. No, he said, it's the perseverance of sinners that I object to. Well, we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost. We are sealed by him until the day of redemption. Those of you that are saved, this is a part. This is just a part of all the good things that God has prepared for them that love him. And if you're born again, there's a part of you that wants to please God. There's a part of you that loves God. There's a part of you that rejoices in the great things of God. And plus, there's a part that resists it. That's called the old man, the carnal nature. The old flesh battles the spirit all the time. Tug of war all the time between good and evil, between right and wrong. Sometimes the spirit wins, sometimes the flesh wins. Am I right? Amen. Part of you really wants to please God, and that's because the Holy Spirit lives in you. We are partakers of the Holy Ghost. We are also partakers of his correction or chastisement. In Hebrews chapter 12, please, and verse number 8 is the primary verse I want to call your attention to. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all of God's children are partakers of God's correction. What that means is that God doesn't have spoiled children. Amen? A spoiled kid is one that walks all over his parents. A spoiled child is one that does what they want to do, when they want to do it, and makes their parents obey them. You know what? If you give in to your children regularly, they are ruling your house. You're not. They're the head of your house. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So what do I do? Be the leader. Say, well, how do you do that? You impose your will. Amen? I used to be afraid of my dad because I knew what he was capable of doing. He was a mild-mannered man, but I'll tell you, if I crossed him, he let me know in no uncertain terms that I was in big trouble. And he did believe in corporal punishment. He didn't do it nearly enough. I can say that now. Because he's in heaven. He could have done it a lot more. Could have helped me a lot. But I forgot what I was saying, talking about my father here. But correction. Yes. Notice chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. There's two things that weigh us down. One is sin. One is weight. There are some things that are not wrong to do. But God is saying that those things weigh us down. We're to lay them aside. You say, what are those things? Every generation has a different set of weights. Every culture has a different set of weights. In our generation, we have different weights that weigh us down. God says, lay them aside. Why? Because they so easily beset us. They so easily slow us down. They so easily trip us up. We were doing so good spiritually. But these things started to weigh us down. And let us run with patience. Why we need to underline that word? We live in an instant society. Everything's now. Everything's new. Everything's disposable. Throw it away. Amen. The biggest problem, I guess, we have is what to do with all the garbage. Because everything's not made to last. It's hard to find things that last. And so we get very impatient in our culture. And the culture is constantly trying to make things better and faster. And I'm for that. But it hurts me sometimes because I get impatient. And God doesn't want me to be impatient. God wants me to be patient. Because it's good to know that he's still in control of all things. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Every Christian has a race that they're in. We're running that race every day. And there is a finish line, Miss Helen. It's coming up. It's right around the bend. We're coming around the clubhouse turn. The end is in sight. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. They didn't treat him too well, did they? You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. See, Pastor, they don't understand me at work. My neighbors don't understand me. No one understands me. I want to do right. And then they laugh and they scorn and they ridicule. Well, have you resisted unto blood yet? No. So think of Christ, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Verse 5, and you have not forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom, notice verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, he's saying, you're not sons. A real born-again Christian has the fear of God inside of him because the Holy Spirit lives inside of him. A real Christian is disciplined by God. You say, well, God doesn't discipline me. You didn't read that verse. I didn't read all of it either. But what God is saying is he disciplines his children because he loves us. And that's why, that should be the reason why parents discipline their children. They love them. They want them to change. They want them to turn out right. They want them to be corrected and change their attitude and their ways. But of course, we have to have the right example if we're going to discipline. Amen? If we tell them we don't want you doing such and such, we shouldn't be doing such and such. We tell them we don't like your friends, how are our friends? We tell them to go to church, do we go to church, you see? And so, example is a very powerful thing. But we are partakers of his chastisement. You say, well, how does God chastise his children? How does he correct his children? A lot of ways. Thank God that he cares enough to stop us when we stray. He brings us back. And if children have a parent that makes them do right, they may not appreciate it right now, but they are blessed. One day they'll acknowledge that to their parents. Amen. Well, how does God discipline us? Well, he might take away our peace for a while. If that doesn't work, he'll go back to the operating table. Take away some of our joy. If that doesn't work, back to the operating table. And do some other things to get our attention. And if that doesn't work, he patiently continues to work on us. You say, well, Pastor, if that doesn't work, what happens? Ask Jonah. He prepared a storm. Then he prepared a fish. That was enough. Have you had a fish lately? Had a storm lately? Instead of soaking and pouting, why don't you just say, God, I yield to your correction. I yield to your discipline. I'm sorry. What is it that you're trying to show me? Most of the time we know what he's trying to show us. And if we will deal with God in that way, he will deal with us as sons and daughters. And he'll continue to rain down his blessings upon us. Thank God he cares enough for us to do these things. We are partakers of his chastisement. Lastly, we are partakers of his holiness. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 10. For if verily for a few days, for they, speaking of our parents, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. You know, back in the day, going to your room was a real tragedy. Nothing there. Four walls. Today, it's like everything that a person could want is in their room. You tell your children, go to your room. They say, thank you. It's just where I wanted to go. It's where I love to go. It's my room. They got their telephone. They got their computer. They got it all right there. That's not a punishment. Amen. We got to find different ways of grounding children in this century. But we're partakers of his holiness. Notice, for verily for a few days they chastened us after their own pleasure. We thought they got a lot of pleasure out of it. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God disciplines his children so we can partake of his holiness. God is constantly working on us. We're not what we should be, but thank God we're not what we used to be. Amen? And one day, we're really going to be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Can't wait till then. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go on the next bus. But I do want to go. Are you a partaker of God's divine nature? Have you come to Christ on his terms? You say, what, Pastor, what are his terms? Just as you are. Without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for thee. As thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. God wants us to come just as we are. Isn't that wonderful? Just as we are. In our unbelief, in our rebellion, in our messed up life, if we have one, God says, come. Just come as you are. I'll make the changes. In Christ, we have all the blessings. In Christ, I have a pardon full from all the guilt of sin. The fountain flowing from his wounds keeps cleansing me within. In Christ, access to God is mine. He lives to intercede. Before the Father's glorious throne, he brings my slightest need. In Christ, I've found a calm repose. While in his arms I rest, the circling storms can hold no threat, nor mounting waves molest. In Christ, I have a blessed hope. No earthly prize can dim. The trumpet sound shall call me up eternity with him. Nor have I aught but what he gives, and bowing at his feet, this joyous truth enthralls my soul. In Christ I am complete. Amen. Let us pray. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Perhaps this morning, God is calling someone to service and fellowship. That calling, as we said, is a relentless calling. So many professing Christians are like Adam and Eve hiding behind that tree, and God is saying, where are you? I miss you. I want a fellowship with you. Where art thou, Adam? Father in heaven, I pray that this morning that you'd encourage us, those of us that know you, and that you'd have your way in our life. And help us to know, realize, Lord, that you do all things well. If there be anyone in our service that's never trusted in the Lord Jesus, may today be the day of days. That they surrender to you and come as they are. And we would thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all